God. Well, if you'll read with us, in Acts, the 14th chapter, and here to sort of give you some background of this, Paul and Barnabas come into Lystra, I guess how you say that, and they healed a man who had been crippled in his feet from his mother's womb. He had never walked, and they healed him. And because of that, they wanted to make a god out of them and to worship them. They thought the gods had come down and told them. And then it's starting in the 12th verse, and they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker, then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. And then reading on down, you'll find that Paul of them was real upset because they did not want anything made of it, because it wasn't them, it was Christ was the one that really healed the man through what they had done. Then if you'll go down to the 19th verse and listen close to this. This is the same town. This is the same group of people. The 19th verse. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now here, just after they was willing to worship him as a god, because they'd done something that they realized it had to be from God to be done. They realized that there was something real to it, that it wasn't anything that they had ever seen before. And they thought, these men, they must be God. But then when Paul and Barnabas began to tell them exactly why that the man was made whole, that it wasn't them that had done it, that they were just men, the same as the ones living there. But because that they knew that Jesus, because they had been born again, and they come in the Spirit of God, that's why that man had been healed. Then the people, they realized that maybe they weren't God, but in just a very short time, as you read them, probably just a day or two, these other persuaded them, instead of being able to bow down and worship this man, they stoned Paul and carried him out of the city, thinking that he was dead. Now, but does a hatred fall in a man or a woman's heart if they don't know God, when they realize just what it is that God has and what they don't have, and instead of coming unto God to receive from God what God has for, man has a tendency to strike out. And you'll find here it was the Jews of the church of that day come and was the ones that had turned the hearts of the people till they was willing to stone Paul. But Paul, he had been part of that very same thing. He was one of those that stood and with order from the church. He was one of those that stood and looked on, helped the coats of those that stoned Stephen. So now Paul realized, it's only coming back to me what I give out, you and I today. In a Christian life, we may have a hard time a few times where people come to comes up and fights against us and the things we're trying to do for God. But can we remember back to the time when we wasn't where we should be with God? When we were one of those that was resisting the very workings of the Lord. Today you and I, we can look around at me and you'll find Paul. After and the disciples, they was others standing around there when he was laying there after being cast out for dead. And Paul began to stand there. Where did he go? Right back into the city. And the next day he traveled, still preaching the gospel.
They wasn't able to change his mind and his heart. You and I today, no matter what the devil comes at us with, why change from that that is right? Why turn away from that that we know is the only hope for mankind? Paul here, he realized what a gift God had given her.
Who his salvation and the Holy Spirit that through him teaching people and showing them what a power there was in God that people could be healed and people could be saved. And you would think that these people, instead of turning against Paul, would have turned against those that they seen nothing out of. Paul, they seen this great work from them. But these Jews that came, they seen nothing out of them. You and I today, the devil still works the same way. The good that people see in your life, the good that they can see of a Christian in you, they're so ready to listen to the lies of the devil. And instead of embracing you, they'll stand against you. Why? Because it makes them feel uncomfortable. And they'd rather fight against it than surrender unto it. Just like that judge that we were telling you about there, that will rule again. They'll be able to teach and talk to prisoner about Christ. Offer salvation unto him. He says they can't do that now. Why? He realizes that men's hearts are changed. He realizes the success that they're having. But he just disagrees with it. I would want to be in his shoes for all this world has to offer. When he stands before God, I wonder what he's going to say when he looks into the face of that Jesus Christ. They said you can't teach these men about Jesus. You don't have the right to teach them something that can change their lives. So when God gives each and every one of us that right, what man has the power to take that away from us? You and I today, we better wake up here in America. We might look at people around the world and think it's the law. They live in a country where they can't worship God as they please. How long is it going to be that we keep this right here? That we can preach the word of God and can go out over the internet around the world? That opportunity might be soon taken away. If we don't pray and be obedient unto God. You know, I can remember back as a kid when we had Bible reading and prayer every day in school as a starting of the school day. And we said a pledge of allegiance to the flag. And that was the starting of every day. Now, they can't read the Bible in school. They can't pray. You and I today, we better wake up. Because we could lose the freedoms that we take so for granted. When I was a kid, nobody spoke out against that. Why? Because it was just something you knew in a Christian nation. Everybody recognized that that was a right. But we lost that right. Because Christian people just couldn't believe that that would ever be taken away until it was. Each and every one of us today, look at this scripture, how fast that minds and hearts of people can turn. Today in America, they can be ready to worship God, but if the world tide turned against all that's holy, against God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, if the world's opinion turns against us, how long will America stand in a hole for it? If it seems to be hurting our pocketbook, our trade or something around the world, we'll sell God. Why? Because the heart of most people is not really in the work
with the God standard. They got a form of God in it, but they deny the power thereof. You and I today, it's time for us to realize God still holds all power, our loved ones, and we want to see us there. The best way is for us to live a spirit-filled life in front of us,
that they might see something in us that would cause them to want to worship that same God that we're worshiping. You know, how quick hearts of people can change. You know, I can remember back years ago, my dad preaching in a church, and I was just a young person, and these people just couldn't seem to do enough for Dad. Every Sunday they wanted him to come to his house, their house, to eat. They just wanted to shower Dad with gifts and everything. And we was going home from church one night, and I told Dad, I said, there's something about them, I don't know what it is. I said, but there's something about them that I feel funny about. You better watch them. And he just called me down something awful. And he said, you're not supposed to say nothing like that about anybody. And I said, well, I was just telling you what I feel. He said, I don't care. You shouldn't say nothing like that about anybody. It wasn't 3 months later, those same people were going around telling all kinds of lies on that, trying to destroy him. And I told him, I said, see, I told you. He said, I knew it already, but you had no right as a kid to be voicing that because you might say it to somebody else. He said, everybody has a right to change. And he said, they could have, and I would crave for that. He said, but you still have no right to judge a person until they create the act. And you and I today, we might think somebody is a friend to us today because they just embrace us. They love us. They seem to want to do everything for us. But because you, that same person will be the one, if you're not careful, if their heart's not true with God, will be the one that would turn you in. If it comes to the point, just like back under Nazi Germany, when they were there, they were people that were supposed to be friends that turned one another in under the government. Today in America, that same thing would happen if somebody thought it was further than hell. Why? Because love is not there the way it should be. We don't have the love for God the way we should. We don't have the brotherly love the way that we should. It's time for us to buckle down. Talk to God till we get the answer from it. We feel that Holy Spirit fill our heart of the inside. And we know just exactly what God's requiring of us. And then stand, even if we're standing alone to the point of being put to death as Paul, they thought they had done, and eventually he was put to death. You and I, until God is through with us, they cannot kill us because our life is in God's hand. They can do whatever they want to, but just like they left Paul for dead, but God wasn't through with him. You and I, when God's through with us, what difference does it make how we go out of this life? But we better make sure that we're an instrument that God can use and he's pleased with us while we're living here. That's what Paul's testimony was at the end of his life. There in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, I saw the good fight. I finished my course. You and I, that's what we need to do. Is fight a faithful fight. Finish the course that God has before. Witness to each and every one that God wants us to witness to. Be that person that's willing to stand and bear persecution. You'll find if you read there in the first part of the 14th chapter in Acts, in another place, they were ready to stone Paul with hell and they lived. But here in this town,
and he get away without being sold, but he still went on doing the same thing, preaching the gospel. Why? Because that was something he couldn't compromise. You and I today, that's the word I hate, is compromise. You hear it, our government, they're always trying to compromise something in Washington. Somebody can come up with a wonderful idea, but by the time they get it out of Congress and Senate, they have to compromise it so that it's no longer worth anything. Our country would probably be better off if we see Congress and Senate whole for a few years. They don't sit around and do nothing, because what they're passing most of the time ends up hurting us instead of doing us good. You and I today, it's time to realize that thanks to God you get our compromise and it still be right. If something is right and you change it any, it's no longer right. There's only one point for right and right, and everything else
is off from there. You know, when God created the plan of salvation, He made it a straight and a narrow road for you and I to walk. And, you know, if we're drunk with the things of the world, we can't walk that straight and narrow road. You'll find a state policeman, when he's giving a man a test out there on the highway, whether he's drunk or not, he'll make him walk a straight line. Either that little white line that's on the edge of the road, or he'll make him walk that center line of the road. And if that man can't walk it, he can't stand there on one foot, he can't take his finger and touch the end of his nose with his eyes closed, things like that, he's going to say, "You're too drunk to drive." Well, you and I today, when God gives us a test, we better measure up. And it's more than that that the policeman gives. And we better measure up to that straight and narrow pathway. And today the world is trying to take too much along and still call herself a Christian. But you and I today, just like Paul, we need to come back to the very basics of the things of God and build upon that. Come and stand upon it. There are people all around the world living in places that they give their very life to have the opportunity that America has to worship God in spirit and in truth. There are people literally being persecuted and put to death because they believe in Jesus Christ died for them and rose again. And in America, we have the right to stand shouting from the housetop. But how long will we have that right? We just take it for granted. But people that died around the world, they realize how precious it is. In America, it didn't cost us, and we say, "Oh, that's all right. We won't lose that freedom." It costs a lot of blood of men that fought for the freedom we have here in America. But to give us salvation, it costs the blood of the Son of God. And we better recognize that. Paul did that. Paul realized the life that he had lived. How awful that he had been. That he had been one of them that persecuted Christian people even unto the death. Paul surely felt her. I'm the least of one that anybody should bow before me. I'm just a man and not one that needs to be looked up to like that. Because I done all the things that the people are doing that persecute the church today. You and I, we look around at our life today. I've seen preachers and big ministry that worldwide know, but all their advertisements, you gotta get their permission if you use anything that they said, anything that they've done, why they want the credit for it. You and I today,
It makes no difference what I do. Just like Paul, I don't deserve any credit. Anything that I've accomplished, it been so it by the mercy of God. God's the one that needs the praise, the honor and glory.
And each and every one of us should look at our lives that very way. If we lead 100,000 people to the Lord, if it was within ourselves, we couldn't have done it. We had to have the Spirit of God. So you and I, we was just an instrument or a road sign. That's all we were. Be thankful that you can be that for God. I cannot save anyone. I can point you to the one that can. I can pray with you to help you get through. But I cannot forgive you. I cannot save you. I cannot change your life. But God can. And you and I today, we can look around the world and see the shape that it's in, that it's pointing toward the coming of Christ. And just because we don't see people dying in America for the cause of Christ, don't mean that they're not dying around the world for that. And each and every one of us, we look at this and we think, oh, my little group, the friends that I have there will never forsake me. You'll be amazed. My dad preached for 63 years. And I can remember, I'm 61 right now. Well, we'll be in a few days. And I can remember back as a kid, Dad preaching in buildings that was so full, they were standing on the outside looking through the windows. They didn't have air conditioning then. So the windows was raised. There was Millers flying around. They didn't have screens. There was everything flying around inside at the window, the lights. People wasn't worried about it. They had their mind on the service. They'd be just shouting the house down. You could even hear people sometimes shouting outside the building. I sat around the altar. Kids, giving up the seat for the adults. We had to sit in the floor around the altar because it was easier on us than it was some adult. Trying to give seats to make room for people, and still people couldn't get in. Dad, the last few years, he preached, still preaching the exact same gospel. Couldn't even halfway fill a house. Had the gospel changed? No. The hearts of men and women had changed. The same thing that was saving them back then, back then. I can remember Dad talking about going and holding a two-week revival and having 30 some of conversion in a two-week revival or even more than that. And today, you go and if you're lucky, you'll get one or two. But the gospel has a change. The hearts of men and women have changed. They no longer want to receive the word of God. Just as he's here. Instead of embracing Paul when they realize that he wasn't a God. Instead of embracing him and saying, well, can you do that? That we might know that God that you know. That we might get acquainted. We might have that spirit that you have. Instead of doing that, they turned against him and wanted to put him to death. Had he changed though, Paul was still the same, teaching the same thing, preaching the same thing. And he did after they left him for dead. He got up and still went on preaching the same thing. You and I today, just because the world turns their back upon it, don't want anything to do with God. That's that much more reason for us to hold on, to dig a little deeper, to get down to that solid rock and make sure that we're on that firm foundation, that we might be able to stand when the storms and the trials come. You know, I thank God that God has not changed, not in all these years. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still able to save. He's still able to heal. He can do the same as He did back then. He's just waiting for people that's willing to believe. You know, up there the ninth verse, said Paul speaking, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Paul perceived that this man had the faith to believe and be healed. You and I today, do we have faith to believe in God? Or are we lacking in faith? Can we really stand the storm and the trial if it comes our way? Look at all the people down across time that was put to the test. We don't even begin to know just how many people has died for the cause of Christ. We don't even begin to know how big that river of blood would be if it was all brought together. But God knows. Paul's blood, it was not shed in vain. Why? Paul took that stand for the gospel. And because of it, he was beheaded. His blood ran out and they fought. We did it. But the word of Paul still is on today. That blood, it would stand. Those that beheaded him, those that stood against him, his blood will stand as a witness against them. On the day of judgment, the words he spoke still standing there, witnessing against them. On the day of judgment, you and I today, man can do all that they can to it, but when they've done all they can do, God said, I'm there for you. I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end. He stands ready still to deliver. And just like the Hebrew children there before the piper, we know that God can, but if he won't, we're still not going to bow. You and I've got to have that heart, that mindset, to know that God is real, and we're not willing to compromise the things of God for this world. Why if we sell out, what do we gain? We gain absolutely nothing. We lost all that we had that was important. You and I, we can even sit back and think, well, we're helping to spread the gospel around the world by the internet. And granted, out of the thousands of downloads, we don't know how many really listening. We don't know if it's one with each download or if it's 25. We don't know how many. We're just trusting God. Oh, I wish that everyone that downloads it would also send us an email and let us know just how many is listening. But I'm not into it for the praise of man. I'm into it just to carry the gospel of the Lord to the people. I like to know how many is listening, how many have made who are reaching, how many people it is that it's helping to change their lives. It's what changed me. It's what made me from a man that loved the things of sin to a man that hated sin and loved the things of God. From a man that didn't want anything to do with a church to one that wants to be a church every time the doors are open. You and I today, God still lives and reigns and will put him first. He can make a difference in people's lives. Why? Because he wanted to reach men and women that they might see just what he seen in Christ. When he made it down the road to Damascus, Paul realized, I can never be the same anymore. And he wants every man and woman that he met to be like that. You'll find one time when he was witnessing, he told him, he said, I wish all of you was just as I am, except for these bonds. He didn't want them to be bound up the way that they had him chained. But he wanted them to be free in the things of the Lord. There was times that they thought that they had the apostles chained, tied, imprisoned, a little bit of everything. God set them free. The chains just fell off. Not only to them, but to all of the men in the prison. Other times, God just freed them and walked them out. They thought they'd see in a vision, in a dream, until they come to themselves after they was out beyond all the gates. When they come to the gates, they just open to their own. You and I, that same God still lives and reigns. I don't care what they lock in. If God wants you out of there, He'll bring you out and make Him stop it. You and I today, let's make sure that our heart is right with God. Our heart is free. They can lock you up, but they can't stop you from lifting your voice and praising God. They can't take that away from you. Just like that soul, they can take your freedom. They can take all kinds of things away from you. They can even deny you to have food and drink. But I'm thankful to God. I can lift my voice and begin to sing and pray unto the Lord. I can find you have food there. Because my God still lives and reigns. And I honestly believe that if He wanted you to survive and you was locked up and they wasn't giving you a thing to eat, God can give you the strength and the nourishment to survive no matter what they do to you. Say, He says it's enough. Each and every one of us, please, listen to these scriptures that we read to you. Just read that 14th chapter of Acts. Listen to that. How fast the hearts and lives of people change just because somebody come in and talked against Paul and them a little bit. You and I today, if we have opposition to us, don't think just because that you're standing on the Word of God or you're telling people the truth that you're going to win all the arguments with them. Because the world wants to believe a lie. They don't want to believe the truth. You might think, well, I've got God on my side. I've got the Word of the Lord and nobody can deny it. Just like that judge, he admitted everything that they was doing was working. They had wonderful success. They had no government program. Government has all kinds of programs that cost big piles of money. The money is going into this was a little bit compared to what the government was putting in to try and rehabilitate prisoners. And yet the government's program wasn't working. This program worked. But the judge disagreed because of the Son of God. You and I today, just because you've got truth on your side does not mean that you're going to win with everybody you talk to. The biggest majority of people will reject the truth. But when you come down to the end of your life, if you stood upon it, you can be as Paul. You can say, I fought the fight. I kept the faith. If somebody don't believe, that's no reason to go sit down somewhere or another and quit. That's no reason to change and say, well, let me find something else that they will accept. If you've got the truth, if you've got the Word of God, if that's what you're offering unto them, salvation, you can't get anything better. And once you've had the best, why offer anything else? You know, if man does not want the best that God had to offer, why should you and I look for anything else? You know, they rejected Christ when He was here. And He pretty much told me and you, they're going to do the same to us. So if they rejected Christ when He was here in person, why do you think that everybody will believe if we offer Him unto them in word and in deed? You know, they're still going to reject a large majority of people. But I'm going to stand and tell them that's the best thing I've ever found. You know, there's no better proof of a good product than a person that's tried it and will tell you that it's good. There is no better witness than somebody that can give you a testimony that it's the best thing that I've ever tried. You know, if I've got a saw or something that is real good, and I go telling somebody else about it, and I say, well, I know there's a better one, but I just want to have this one. You know, people ain't going to go and want to buy that. But if you actually say, you know, this is the best one I've ever had, they'll want to go get it. Well, you and I, if we've truly been born again, why can't we tell somebody, this is the best that I ever had? This is the best thing that I know of. That's what Paul was doing. He was telling people what he had experienced. He was teaching them the things that he had tried himself. The very thing he had proven, that God was real. You and I today, let's offer that to people. While we get some song to sing. No matter what it is that's come against you, no matter what it is that man says about you, that's no reason for us to let up and to turn our back upon God. God wants each and every one of us to stand upon His Word. You know, it's one thing for us to compromise to try and get somebody to go along with us on, you know, if we're going someplace and they don't want to travel a certain road, you say, all right, I'll compromise with you. I'll take this other road. It's a little longer, but we can go that way. You know, that didn't hurt anything really to compromise that. It might cost you a little more gas. But when it comes to the things of God, we cannot compromise. And if it means a friend turning her back upon you, then just say bye-bye. Because Christ is a friend that we need. He's a friend that won't forsake us. And friends here, a lot of times, they'll turn their back. But God won't, as long as we're being obedient to Him. While we sing, will you come? That we might have life. And He made it so easy as to bring it to the heart of man. You know, it wouldn't be that difficult if God had said, everybody's got to travel to Jerusalem. Everybody's got to go to the hill where I was crucified. Everybody's got to go to the tomb where I was in and raised from. If they want to be a Christian, if they want to go to heaven, you know, if that was the stipulation that God put on it, the whole world would be saving money to make that trip that they could go. But God came and just knocked upon the heart and said, won't you open the door and let me come in? The man said, that's asking too much. You and I today, God loves us. He made it so easy. And He said, though he be a fool or a wayfaring man, he need not err therein. You and I today, we better make sure that we're walking the path God would have us to walk. If not, when it comes down the time of our life's end, we're going to wish that we had.